You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Acts of injustice always arouse anger. Every week, television documentaries and investigative journalists expose rip-off artists. So crude and crass are some piranha parasites of the public, and so bold and brazen have they become at their devious tactics, that television viewers and newspaper readers frequently find these stories absolutely incredible. Few incidents, however, cause the public to react as suddenly as when a totally innocent person is physically tortured or even killed. Sad to say, this Lenten season recalls the most infamous example. This was the phony trial and bloody crucifixion of Jesus the Christ. This unnecessary killing of the Blessed Savior represents a cruel classic of all ages. No greater miscarriage of justice has ever taken place. Laws of justice were violated, flaming emotions replaced reason, and hatred blinded common sense. The innocent Son of God was viciously tortured and then he was killed. At the same time, a guilty criminal, Barabbas by name, was embraced by the blinded crowd and set free. The official in charge, Pontius Pilate, he knew better. Pilate openly admitted that he found no evidence of guilt in the condemned Savior. And yet, for fear of his own political reputation and to save his own neck, Pontius Pilate permitted cold nails to be driven through the tender hands and feet of Jesus. Our loving Lord Jesus was ruthlessly attached to a rugged Roman cross, and then with a flesh-ripping jolt as the cross met the bottom of the hole in the ground, he was lifted up on a lonely hill near Jerusalem to die in agony. He was cut off out of the land of the living. His grave was assigned with wicked men. Our text for today, taken from the Gospel of Mark chapter 15, states, "And wishing to satisfy the multitude, Pilate released Barabbas for them. And after having Jesus scourged," the Bible points out, "Pilate delivered Jesus to be crucified." This godless plot of destroying the Messiah was not hatched overnight. It involved many, many, many months of Satan-inspired scheming. At the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry, religious leaders were already plotting the Savior's death. Mark chapter 3 describes the scene. A man with a withered hand approached Jesus. Jesus, the divine physician, was immediately filled with compassion. He healed the man. The blessed Savior performed the miracle of mercy on this Sabbath. But in the eyes of some, this act of love violated religious rules. And as a result, the Bible states, "The Pharisees went out and immediately began taking counsel with the Herodians against Jesus, as to how they," the Bible says, "as to how they might destroy him." For 3 previous years, Jesus had conducted his ministry of mercy and heavenly hope. With divine authority, he proclaimed the word of God with power. He healed the sick. He made the blind to see. He made the lame to walk, and the dead were raised. As each day of this astonishing ministry unfolded, the Savior's enemies felt more and more pressure. They had to do something. Jesus was threatening their man-centered, man-serving religion. On the one hand, they were afraid to challenge him. In Matthew chapter 21, we read, "The enemies sought to seize Jesus, but they feared the multitudes." And again, Luke chapter 19, we read, "And Jesus was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the leading men among the people were trying to destroy him. And they," the Bible says, "could not find anything that they might do, for all the people were hanging upon Jesus' words." Oh, the public, they loved Jesus, and they loved to hear him preach. Jesus had become extremely popular, you see. His words and deeds drew crowds by the multiple thousands. And if his enemies weren't careful, they themselves might just find their wicked scheme backfiring, and then they themselves might also meet their own early, unexpected, gruesome death. On the other hand, time was running out. Those bent on killing Jesus had to move. If they didn't decide to carry out their plot soon, this popular prophet might upset the present religious establishment, and then everything would be lost. For 3 years they schemed and they plotted. Finally, the eve of the annual spring Passover arrived. The enraged enemies decided now is the time. They ruthlessly arrested Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Members of the ruling body, the Sanhedrin, were hurriedly called together. They met in the home of Caiaphas, the high priest, at night. False charges were trumped up. The mob was emotionally whipped up. Pilate was clearly backed up into a corner. He was forced to act, though he knew better. Pilate knew that what he was doing was wrong. He knew that everything that was happening was wrong. He even stated publicly, Jesus was in no way guilty of the charges. And yet, horror of horrors, as our text for today sadly states, and I quote, "After having Jesus scourged, one of the most bloody and heinous forms of pre-death abuse, then Pilate delivered Jesus to be crucified." Oh, words cannot express the sorrow and the tragedy of the crucifixion journey. In agony, the condemned Son of God moved from the trial location to the execution site outside of the city. For hours, Jesus had been without sleep or rest. He had lost blood from the terrible scourging. Roman procedures now further demanded that the condemned man must carry his own heavy cross to his execution. What shame for an innocent man! Jesus staggered under the heavy load of the heavy cross. As the crucifixion procession moved through the streets, passers-by stopped and they looked. The lesson for them was clear. Criminals were not only officially disposed of by the Romans, the methodology used was made especially cruel. It was an unmistakable warning to all those who in the future might run afoul of the law. In the Gospel of Luke we read, "There were following Jesus a great multitude of people." As we today consider this grim Good Friday scene, one of the saddest pilgrimages ever made on earth, let us never miss the message for our generation. The Bible points out that included in the crowd of people following the cross to the execution site was a number of women. The Bible states they were mourning and lamenting Jesus. The suffering of the condemned Christ had unleashed the sensitive emotions of these women. Tears ran down their cheeks. They were downcast. Their uncontrolled sobbing disturbed the crowd. Their weeping and wailing was mixed with the military gait of the calloused Roman soldiers. Oh, in our often shallow understanding of Jesus' passion, we might expect the blessed Savior to find encouragement in these tear-filled sympathies of the sobbing women. Oh, but to our surprise, it was not so. Jesus reacted by saying to the crying women, "Daughters of Zion, stop weeping for me. Weep instead," Jesus said, "for yourselves and for your children." This often overlooked incident of Jesus, as he rejected the women's tear-filled sympathy, contains for you and me one of the most powerful Lenten lessons. Let us never forget the terrible suffering and death of Jesus. This shameful scene ought to arrest our spirit-sensitized intellect. This shameful scene ought to cut deeply into our emotions. We should weep, not for Jesus, however, but for ourselves. The terrible treatment of Jesus must never be the leading cause of our sorrow. Instead, we ought to weep over our guilt. You and I, you see, you and I were involved in Jesus' death. Whenever we see the cross, we should be reminded of our involvement. It was our sins which caused Jesus to have to be nailed to the cruel cross. Like Peter, who wept in the courtyard after denying Jesus, let us also weep this Lenten season for times we have lived contrary to God's law. If as a result of divorce you are a guilty parent and no longer live with your spouse or children, oh, weep over your sin. Divorce is a sin. If you have caused disharmony or breaking up of a home, then weep over your sin. This is no minor matter. When Jesus admonished the women of Jerusalem not to weep for him, but rather for themselves and their children, Jesus was speaking about a terrible destruction of Jerusalem, which would take place only a generation later. The inhabitants of Jerusalem failed to truly repent of their sins. And so in 70 AD, under the Roman general Titus, the city of Jerusalem was razed to the ground. So terrifying was the siege that starving women ate their own children, and when it was all over, one stone was not left upon another. This horrible example is for our warning. It is for our salvation. Don't delay your repentance. Turn from your sin, and turn then in faith to your loving Lord Jesus Christ. Don't take God's warning lightly. In the Bible, 2 Peter chapter 3, we read, "The Lord is patient toward you, but the day of the Lord will come." Oh, let the Lenten season, then, be different for you this year. Don't weep over Jesus and the terrible treatment he received. He doesn't want you to. He is asking you not to. Instead, weep over your sins and mistakes. These offenses are what caused our innocent Lord to be scourged and killed on the cross. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity, the sins of us all, to fall upon Jesus. Yes, they fell upon him. Our sins, yours and mine, crucified the beautiful Savior. Oh, let us weep in sincere repentance over what we have done. If you have considered yourself better than your neighbor, this is a terrible sin and worthy of damnation. Jesus is asking you to weep over your mistakes and your failures. Have you spoken evil of anyone recently? Jesus is asking you to weep over this terrible sin. Have you talked back to your parents recently? Weep over this sin. Jesus is asking you to. But then don't live in perpetual sorrow. Behold, look and see the resurrected Christ. On the cross he died for our sins. His innocent blood has paid for your mistakes and mine. By his stripes, by his crucifixion wounds, you and I are healed. And now get ready for Easter. It will be here in just 2 weeks. Celebrate it in a special way. On Easter morning, you see, Jesus rose victoriously from the grave. He defeated sin, he defeated death, and he defeated the devil. And because he rose, all who live and die trusting completely in him shall also be raised to eternal life. Don't let God's gift to you of your salvation go unclaimed through your indifference or your stubborn unbelief. Don't let self-centered emotions control your Lenten attitude. Instead, respond by faith to Jesus' words to you. Weep not for him. Weep in sincere repentance over your failures and mistakes. And then flee to the open, loving, and forgiving arms of the blessed Savior. Jesus will receive you. He asks no questions. Jesus demands no qualifications. Oh, may the consoling Spirit at this hour give eternal peace to your troubled heart. All your sins have been paid for at Calvary, all of them, even your most secret sins. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was crucified on Calvary to take away the sins of the entire world. In Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. My friend, the agony and despair of the Good Friday cross was driven away by the brilliance of the Easter morning resurrection. Life has arrived. Death must flee. For you, hope has been established and despair is removed. Even in the midst of your present difficulties, let the resurrection of Jesus be your constant strength, your daily help, and your hourly hope. There is a tomorrow. There is life after death. There is for you an endless, blessed eternity established in the victorious resurrection of Jesus. Oh, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and may this hope be yours forever. Amen.